Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that message and song today. What a blessing just to be in church. If you weren't here for Sunday morning Sunday school, we taught on Christian fellowship and how important it is to make sure that our fellowship, we need fellowship, but make sure that it is Christian, based on the apostles' doctrine, which was the doctrines of Christ, which is Christ. And that's what allows us to have Christian fellowship, Christ, and being of the same mind, being assembled with the very same desires to worship God. And churches, just coming and experiencing what we've experienced this morning, that's something that will help sustain our faith. It's something that will strengthen us. You sense the presence of God in this place. And how can you not, if you truly know the Lord, be blessed by what you've experienced already this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord for church. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Proverbs in chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, we're going to be reading verse 20 and verse 21. And if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. Now, you might think that this passage of Scripture is pretty familiar, and hopefully it is to you. It's the very same passage of Scripture that we used to preach Mother's Day. And of course, it's a totally different message this morning, but the very same biblical truth. Every mother needed to know God's counsel. And this morning, it's Father's Day. And whatever man needs is God's counsel. And so let's look here in Proverbs chapter 19, read verse 20 and verse 21. The Bible says, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, we do love you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and making way for all that are here to be here today. And God, you've done that for us. And you know exactly what's taking place in each one of our lives. You know where we're at spiritually. And I just pray, God, that as we have assembled here, there's no doubt we can sense your presence here. And I pray that each one would open up their hearts and their minds to receive exactly what you have for them today. I pray that you would empower me and use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. God's counsel for a man, a husband, and father. That's the message this morning. God's counsel. What does God say? And what God says and what God reveals is what every man here needs. It's what every husband here needs. And it's what every father here needs. In verse 20, the Bible says, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end." Wise in thy latter end. You've heard the phrase, hindsight is 20/20. Can see it very clearly afterwards. You can look back and you can know exactly what you should have done. The Bible says here, if you just understand what God reveals to us, God is the God of the past, present, and future. And God knows how it's all going to turn out. And he gives us counsel along the way. And looking to God and adhering to his counsel, applying his counsel, is like having hindsight. Being able to see things that you can't see yourself, but know that God sees after your life is over. Mayest be wise in thy latter end. Look back and see the wisdom in serving the Lord. In verse 21, the Bible says, "There are many devices in a man's heart." Devices in a man's heart. That device means a plan or scheme for effecting a purpose. And there's many. Everyone has their own ideas. Everyone has their own philosophies. Everyone has their own plan. A plan or a scheme for effecting a purpose. But then it goes on to say, nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, not our plan, not our schemes, but the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Amen. Can I tell you here this morning that all will make their own choices, and God has given to us a free will. And God will not force you to do anything, nor can the church. God has revealed to us His counsel, and God has made it available for all who would seek Him to find God's counsel in every area of life. God has established His church to represent Him. And can I tell you this morning that this church wants to influence you to hear and apply God's counsel. Every time you come through the doors of Lighthouse Baptist Church, I guarantee you what God wants us to do is what we want to do, and that is to influence you for the cause of Christ. Amen. To try to help you to hear and give you some kind of an encouragement to not only hear, but know that you need to apply it to your life. God's counsel. God's counsel for a man. As we study the Scriptures, the most important counsel that you could hear and apply, I believe, is found in the book of Matthew chapter 22. It's a counsel that the Lord Jesus Christ was giving to the disciples of His while He was walking on this planet Earth some 2,000 years ago. And He was training them, teaching them about Christlikeness, about Christianity, about who God was and the counsel of God could do to all that would want to hear it and apply it. How are we to live? And what are the most important commandments? What's the most important thing that God would reveal to mankind? What's the most important thing that I can do in applying whatever counsel that God would give me? Well, in the book of Matthew in chapter 22, in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 down to verse 38, I believe it's the most important. And actually not even the most important for just a man, but the counsel for all mankind, everyone. A man, woman, child, this is the most important counsel that anyone could receive. And that is Matthew chapter 22 and verse 16. Now, verse 36, the Bible says, Master, which is a great commandment in the law? There was somebody there that was looking to Jesus Christ, and he says, now we have all the Old Testament, we understand all the commandments. What would you say would be the most important commandment or counsel that you would give to us? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. There's no greater counsel for mankind than to love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Because if we truly love God that way, if we truly love God with our heart and our soul and our mind, then what that will do to you, if you truly love God, that means that you will seek after Him. You will seek the Lord. If you love God, then you will seek after Him. Can I take you back to when you set your eyes upon your spouse, whether it be your wife or your husband. And the first time that when you looked upon them and you finally got to that place, you realize, this is a person that I love. This is a person that I want to be my husband or I want to be my wife. And when you realize that you truly had a love for that individual, then can I get you to think back to what you did to make that happen? Some people have done some crazy things, amen? You look back over your life to win over your husband or to win over your spouse. Because of love, you would have done some things that you might not have done normally. Might have even put yourself out there where you were not really one to put yourself out there for that. But because of love, you sought after that individual to make that individual yours. I remember my wife when I started going to an independent fundamental Baptist church, and I had just rededicated my life, turned my life over to the Lord. And God pointed her out to me, and in my heart I knew that this is the woman that I'm going to marry. And I had to convince her of that. And I realized that she was a godly lady, that she had just come back from Bible college, and she was working in a youth ministry, a Jet Cadets ministry on Saturday, and that she was one that would be in church all day on Sunday. And I said, I love that woman. I love my God too. And I was at that time seeking the Lord, but to be quite honestly, the reason that I gave up my weekends was not only because of my love for God, but it was my love for my wife, and I wanted to make her mine. And so I got involved in Jet Cadets because she was in Jet Cadets. Gave up my Saturdays for love, amen. I gave up my Sundays, and it was a twofold. I loved Lord, and I wanted to learn more about Him, but also every Sunday I knew that she was going to be in church. And I looked forward to going to that college career class. Amen. I looked forward to going out and whatever activities they had. As a matter of fact, our first date, if you want to call it a date, was going soul winning together. Praise the Lord for that. When you love someone, you'll seek after them. And when you love the Lord and you seek God, can I tell you, good things will happen? Good things will happen. Matter of fact, the Bible gives us understanding. When we love the Lord, we seek after His will and His counsel. We seek Him. Look at Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, book of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17 to verse 21. Let me reveal to you here what God says about those that love Him and that will seek after Him. Good things will happen. Fathers, men, you want something good to happen in your life? Seek after the Lord. But you won't seek after the Lord until first of all you realize that you love God because He first loved you. When you stop and think about God loved you enough to send His only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross, and then you accept that gift of eternal life, what a difference that'll make in your life. Amen. And then you realize you love Him because He first of all loved you, and you want to learn more about Him. And you start seeking after Him. Yes. The Bible says in Proverbs in chapter 8 and verse 17, I love them, God says here, I love them that love me. Now, He first of all loved us, giving us an opportunity to love Him. But then when we love Him because He first loved us, then He says, I'll love them back. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. When you love God and you start seeking after Him, God says, I'll make myself available. They'll find me. And when they find me, riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches. Riches that'll last. Not just a temporary. Not just something that's going to be a whim. It's going to come and go. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit, look right here, substance. And I will fill their treasures. What am I saying to this morning, men? Can I tell you, if you want a better life, not only for you, but for your family, and for society, if you will understand, first of all, the love of God, and because He loved you, He gives you an opportunity to love Him. And can I encourage you this morning to first and foremost look to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. I mean, truly, give yourself to loving God. And when you give yourself to loving God, you will seek after Him. And when you seek the Lord, good things will start happening. You'll find treasures that go beyond the wealth of this world. the go beyond the gold and silver of this world. You'll find treasures that you cannot buy in this world. You'll find treasures that you cannot work hard enough for. You're going to find treasures that are going to be precious, that are going to sustain you, a peace and a joy and a presence of God in your lives. Good things happen to all of those who will seek the Lord. Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and that is God's ways and God's will for your life. And then once you start understanding your love for God and you start seeking after that God that you have a love for, he says, "You can look to me. And I will sustain you, and I will start adding all things unto you, whatever they might be." Amen. Good things. Good things will start happening. All of what God wants to give us is dependent upon us loving him. "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." Sometimes we say, "Well, I want to have a submissive wife, and I want to have obedient children." If you're a father here this morning, if you're a husband here this morning, those are some things that you might want to have in your life. Can I tell you what it's going to take to have that? You individually seeking God's will for your life. Ephesians in chapter 5, let me share with you something here concerning that. If you love God, then you're going to seek after God. If you're seeking after God, then you're going to be this kind of a man that God wants you to be, because you're seeking his will for your life. In Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse 21 and verse 22, the Bible says this concerning your wife. He says, first of all, in a marital relationship, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. In a Christian marriage, that's what you do. You both love and fear God, and you want to do God's will for your life. But then he says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." As unto the Lord, what God would have her to submit to. You want to have a submissive wife, then be the man that God wants you to be. And as you prove yourself to be that Christian husband, and when you prove yourself to love God and want to do and be what God would have you to do and be, then you will position yourself for your wife to submit unto you as unto the Lord. That'll change your marriage. Good things will happen in your relationship. Some would say this morning, "Well, I want to have her obedient. I want my children to respect me." And can I tell you that God has instilled that within you? What men need more than even that idea of love, men need to be respected. If you want that, then seek ye the Lord. Look what he says, Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." If you're not presenting yourself to be respectable, if you're not presenting yourself to be the father that you ought to be, don't expect your children to respect you, and don't expect your children to be obedient to you until you, first of all, have taken the place that God says, "I want you to take." Yeah. Verse 4, it says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Are you bringing them up the way God would have you to bring them up? When you become the man that God wants you to be, and you're loving God, and because of your love for God, you're seeking God, then you're going to seek, in seeking God, you're going to be the man that your wife needs, and you want to be the father that your children need, and God will give you something in that relationship that you can't find anywhere else. A Christian marital relationship has something that the world cannot touch. A Christian family has something that the world cannot touch. God's counsel for a man. Most important, love God. Because if you truly love God, you'll seek after God. The second thing we find is God's counsel to a husband. God's counsel to a husband in Ephesians, and we were there. Look back with me, Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Your wife, men, can I tell you, yes, they need your love. God designed them to want you to love them. But even more than what she needs your love, but she needs your leadership. The Bible says this is how God designed marriage. This is how God created a man. This is how God created a woman. This is what God has instilled within you. God wants you, and God has given to you the headship. He has designed how you feel. He has designed what's going to make you happy. He's designed what's going to complete you. In order to receive the blessings of His design, you have to yield to that design. The husband is the head. God designed her to need you to lead her. If Satan can, he's going to blind humanity to God's purposes. He's going to blind humanity to God's design. And I believe right now he has done a pretty good job here in the United States of America in blinding humanity to God's design for marriage, and God's design for a husband, a man, and God's design for a woman and a wife. God designed the body. God designed it. It's that all you have to do is just look to God's creation, and you can see that God designed the man different from the woman, but he designed us in a way that we could complete one another. And not only the outward appearance of the design, but what's designed on the inside. What every man needs from a woman is that of respect. And whatever a woman needs from a man is what God has designed for him to love and lead her as God would have him to lead her. Amen. That's just Bible. That's God's counsel. That's counsel that will stand. Sad, but most men won't. So what most women do. If the man will not lead as the man ought to lead, can I tell you most what you'll find is the woman stepping up and becoming the leader. That's not God's design. Sometimes that's only how it's going to work. But that's not what your wife needs, and that's not what you need. And you're not going to have all the blessings of God in your relationship until you step up and do what God has designed you to do. Because most women, once they get that position of leadership, they realize they really don't want it. Because it causes them to have a less respect for the man that's supposed to be the leader. Because most men won't, and most women do. Or some men abuse, so women rebel. That's just as bad as that man standing up and saying, I'm the head of the house and you follow me and you do what I say to do. Listen to me, that's not how Christ loved the church. And because you're abusing what God has given to you in the position that you have, most women are going to rebel against that kind of leadership. Because that's not biblical leadership. I've heard it said that you probe cattle and you lead sheep. Your wife is not a heifer, she is like a lamb. Now keep that in context, amen? I didn't say that your wife was a heifer. I said, your wife is not a heifer. She is not a cow. She is not to be prodded along. Amen. She's more like a sheep. Take the lead. Take the lead. If you take the lead, if you love God as you ought to love God, and you're seeking after God, then He will enable you to be the Christian leader that you need to be in your home and in your marriage. And when you love God and you seek God and you start looking to be the leader of your wife, she will follow, and she'll find something that she might not have ever found before. Respect.
Amen. That's good.
And that will enhance your relationship like nothing else, because now you're living your life as God designed it. Wow. For a man, for a husband, for a father. For a father. Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Can I encourage you this morning, if you have children, fathers, be that father that your children need. It's sad to see a generation of young people today that have no understanding of who God is, nor His will for their lives. We have turned over the position of a Christian father who is instructed to bring up our children. We've turned that over to our wives, or we've turned it over to society to do the job that God has called us to do. And society will not help them to see that there is a God. Because this world is not the light. This world is not following Christ. This world is darkness. If we let the world to raise our children, they'll never understand the reality of God. If they don't understand that there is a God, and they don't understand that God has a purpose and a plan for their lives, they will not live their lives in such a way as to be to position themselves for the blessings of God. I believe it's due to our failures as fathers. The Bible says that the counsel of God will help us to be wise in the latter end. Don't wait till it's too late. Don't wait till it's too late. I believe that one day we'll understand that one of our greatest accomplishments or failures was in how we raised our children. Children are a heritage of the Lord. God knows what they have need of. And He understands that He gave the father the position of headship in the home, and that's why He says, fathers, your children need you to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Don't wait till it's too late. One of our greatest accomplishments, our greatest failures, we'll find one day to be how we raised our children. Not how they turned out, but how we raised our children. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:6, the glory of children are their fathers. God instilled that within them. I look back in my life and I love my mother. I really do. I loved her, but I looked to my father. My mom's love was very important in my life. She prayed for me. I believe that's what kept the hand of God's protection upon my life when I was rebelling. I believe it was a praying mother that allowed me to get back into the Lord's will, to do what God called me to do. But it's my Father that I look to, that had the greatest impact upon my life. The glory of children, the way God designed them. The glory of children are their fathers. I got to read this. You've heard it before, but probably my favorite poem for Father's Day. In closing, it says, I may never be as clever as my neighbor down the street. I may never be as wealthy as some other people I'll meet. I may never have the fame that other men may have, but I've just got to be successful as my little girl's dad. There are certain dreams that I cherish that I'd like to see come true. There are things I'd like to accomplish before my working days are through. But the task my heart is set on is no mere passing fad. I've just got to be successful as my little girl's dad. It's the one job I dream of, the task I think of most. For if I fail my little girl, I've nothing else to boast. For all the wealth and fame I'd gather, my fortune would be sad if I failed to be successful as my little girl's dad. I may never come to glory. I may never gather gold. And men may count me as a failure when my business life is told. But if my little girl can just grow up godly, then I'll be glad. Then I'll know I've been successful as my little girl's dad. The counsel of God, it'll stand. It'll stand as a man. It'll stand as a father, as a husband. It'll stand as a father. All we have to do, and where it starts, is loving God and seeking His will. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. The counsel of God. He knows the end. Hindsight 2020. Believe God. Understand what's most important. Understand the greatest counsel that you could receive begins with loving God. Because if you love Him, you'll seek after Him. If you're seeking after God, you will be that husband, and God will enable you to be that father that your wife and your children need. Father, as we bow before You this morning, we do love You. Thank You, Lord God, for church. Thank You for enabling us to be here this morning to assemble ourselves in Your name. Thank You for what we've received in the singing and the special music. Thank You for speaking to us through the precious Word of God. And Lord, I don't know just how it might have fallen on the ears of all of those that are here. I don't know what kind of decisions that need to be made, whether by the men or women or the children of this congregation. But God, I know this is the message, and You brought them here to hear it. And I just pray now that they would each and every one search their hearts, be willing to make whatever decisions that You'd have them to make. If there's someone here that does not know You as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray, God, that You would reveal to them Your love for them and giving them an opportunity to be saved. There's someone here that has been saved but's not loving You. I pray, God, this morning the conviction would be in their lives and they would confess and forsake and get back to loving you by obeying your commands. Work in our midst this morning and bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.